It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
The 145th Kentucky Derby is in the books, and it was a wild one. Now it's off to Baltimore for the second leg of the Triple Crown. Can Country House rebound in 2 weeks with another solid performance, or will a new face smile at Pimlico? See what the experts have to say in ExpressBet's free Preakness Wager Guide. That's right, the guide is free to everyone and available online at ExpressBet.com. Inside the guide, you'll find expert selections, analysis, and suggested $100 wagering strategies from some of the game's sharpest handicappers, writers, and broadcasters. Don't plug down your hard-earned bread until you've read what these guys have to say. Also, ExpressBet's free Preakness Wager Guide provides you with important stats and trends you won't find anywhere else. Visit ExpressBet.com to access the free Preakness Wager Guide beginning Friday, May 10th, and an updated version that includes Eddie Olchek's picks May 16th. Open a new ExpressBet account and get up to a $500 welcome bonus. Visit the website for complete details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
When you grow up,
we're back, and the opportunity to listen to the ABC broadcast from the 1980 Preakness is just so unique and delicious here. I just have to do it. You're going to hear all the great voices and the personalities that made that era's racing coverage so memorable, and Jim McKay hosting, and Howard Cosell and Eddie Arcaro providing their color. As I mentioned yesterday, the presence during the broadcast of a number of notable personalities, including Dr. Alex Harthill, the Derby Doc, as he's referred to, the late Dr. Harthill, a legend. I mean, really. And I guess I have to use the word notorious. it's impossible not to. And Jack Klugman turns up talking about Jacqueline Klugman. You'll enjoy that. And then how about the patriarch of the Kelly family, T.J. Kelly, who literally climbed the fence from over here on Northern Parkway, or maybe he approached from Hayward Street, or he literally lived across the street from Pimlico as a boy, and wanted to get over the fence and come on to the racetrack, and he never left. And a real treasure buried in this broadcast with Tommy Kelly, Leroy Jolly, who we just lost in the course of the last year, D. Wayne, still on the scene, and then, as I mentioned, in fact, yesterday as well, you'll hear interviews, Cosell asking George Velasquez, Angel Cordero, and Jacinto Vasquez about the race-fixing allegations at the time. An amazing time capsule, really, to not just introduce the Codex Genuine Risk controversy, but boy, everything that came with it before the race unfolded. Dave Johnson's call, and I think you're going to enjoy this immensely. And stay with us afterward, because you'll hear from Jacinto himself. We catch up with Jacinto. Last time we spoke, sadly, was after Leroy's death, and Alan Foreman, who launched his career as we know it in the racing industry with the Genuine Risk Codex Maryland Racing Commission hearing. The absolute banner headline led off national news coverage. National news opened after the commission with the results. I mean, that's how big a story it was. And frankly, this Derby story seems every bit as big. I mean, obviously, 1980, personally, I was in college, and you know, wasn't necessarily, I think at that time, it wasn't necessarily as big a thing of note to me. I would say the Red Sox Yankees in that era that had some pretty momentous 78, right, in particular. But that's when I first got to college. But this story and the one here 39 years later, Genuine Risk, Codex, Preakness, Maximum Security, Country House, War of Will, Derby, the parallels are remarkable. Enjoy this 1980 Preakness telecast. Jim McKay, next voice you'll hear.
The nature of horses she did not meet in the Kentucky Derby. Six of them in the race she did not meet before in this season of three-year-old racing. Well, most prominent of them probably Codex from the West Coast, winner of the Santa Anita Derby and the Hollywood Derby. Then we have Colonel Moran, the speed horse from New York, winner of the Withers just a week ago today. And Jacqueline Klugman was in the Derby, finished third. That's the colt with the feminine name. By the way, a story on Jacqueline Klugman yesterday while being shooed. There was a slight mishap. We'll check very specifically on that story as we go along. Right now, for more of the specifics of the place, the time, and the race, let's go to my ABC colleague, Howard Cosell.
Thank you very much, Jim. Yes, let's get to the nuts and bolts of the race. First, Jimmy, it is official, an all-time record crowd, 83,455 people. That figure just handed to me by Chick Lang, who runs the whole shebang. Now, the race course itself, very similar in its layout to Churchill Downs. A long stretch, not quite as long as at Churchill Downs. The first turn, a touch sharp, but not noticeably so, though mythology would have it that it is a very sharp turn. Finally, the distance of the Preakness Stakes, 1 3/16. That's a 16th of a mile shorter than the 1.25-mile distance of the Derby. The condition of the track is perfect. It is fast. It is a cloudy late afternoon now. It is breezy, yet the temperature stays at 72 degrees. So all in all, we have excellent weather conditions. There are three-year-olds, as you know. There will be eight of them, seven weighted at 126. That's the poundage they'll carry. The filly, Genuine Risk, gets a 5-pound weight allowance because she is a filly. The record time for the event, 154. Canyonero 2 doing that in 1971. Quickly to the odds board for a current rendition. And as you look at it, Night Landing is at 50 to 1. Samoyed is at 18 to 1. Codex at 5 to 2. Colonel Moran at 5 to 2. Genuine Risk at 9 to 5. And Bing the Maiden at 50 to 1. Jacqueline Klugman 7 to 2. 70 to 1 for Lucky Pluck. We'll be.
It's an interesting aspect of this year's Preakness, I think, that of the 13 horses who went to the post 2 weeks ago today in the Kentucky Derby, only two of them are entered in the Preakness today, and that is the winner, Genuine Risk, and Jacqueline Klugman, who finished third. Why don't we check into what happened to the rest of them? But first of all, another look at the Derby, the call by Dave Johnson.
They're all in line, and they're off. Gold stage from between horses, getting the early lead. Then toward the inside, it's Rock Hill Native second out in the middle of the racetrack. Execution's Reason with Plug Nickel from between horses, passing the stands for the first time. On the outside, Execution's Reason has the lead by a head. Plug Nickel between horses. Rock Hill Native on the inside, third. Three of them across the track, battling for the early lead. Then it's Withholding on the outside, fourth. Gold Stage back to fifth between horses. Bold and Rolling inches up on the inside. After that, it's Genuine Risk. Gap of two lengths to Jacqueline Klugman. Degenerate John on the inside, Super Moment. Hazard Duke, and then the trailers. Tonka walking on the inside. Rumbo is 13th as they move on to the backstretch. Rock Hill Native leads at 3 parts of the length. On the outside, Plug Nickel second ahead, and Bold and Ruling surprisingly on the rail. Now takes the second spot. Plug Nickel on the outside, back to third. From between arches, Gold Stage is fourth. Execution's Reason on the outside is fifth. Degenerate John on the rail is next. Then it's the filly, Genuine Risk. A gap of three lengths back to the next length. After that, it's Super Moment on the outside. Jacqueline Kluckman from between horses. Hazard Duke is next. Rumbo on the inside withholding. And the trailer now, Tonkawonkan 13th. And on to the far turn. After they pass the half mile in a slow 48 seconds. On the inside, here comes Bolden Ruling charging up to challenge Rock Hill Native on the outside. Kluckman is right there. And there goes Genuine Risk. Now they're tightly bunched as they move to the top of the stretch. Genuine Risk on the outside takes the lead. It's Genuine Risk in front, 3 points length. Rock Hill Native on the inside, and second and Kluckman the third. Here comes Jacqueline Kluckman in the middle of the track, and down the stretch they come. It's Genuine Risk in front, 3 points length. Here comes Jacqueline Kluckman up to be second. Rumbo in the middle of the racetrack is flying. Rock Hill Native drops back. They're in the final furlong. It's Genuine Risk, and she's Genuine. Here comes Rumbo on the outside. Genuine Risk by one.
2 minutes, 2 seconds earlier, hope had been high for 13 three-year-olds. Now there was victory for one, defeat for the others. More important, it would develop that only two of the 13 would go on to the Preakness. Consider, Genuine Risk, the winner, of course, entered in the Preakness. Rumbo, shipped to the West Coast, may run in the Belmont. Jacqueline Kluckman entered here today in the Preakness. But the others, well, Super Moment injured a heel in the Derby. He's out of it. Rock Hill Native, the two-year-old champion, injured a right knee in the Derby and is out. Bolden Ruling injured a flexor tendon in the Derby. One after another, Plug Nickel injured knee and tendon in Derby, and he's out. Almost 300 horses have been entered for the Derby, and now only two of that number are on hand for the Preakness. The colt with the feminine name, Jacqueline Kluckman, and the filly, the Derby winner, second of her sex ever to win the Derby, Genuine Risk. If she wins the Preakness, she'll be the first filly to do so in 56 years, the first filly to win it at its present distance. It was run at a mile and an eighth in 1924 when Nellie Morse was the winner. Her daughter, Nellie Flagg, later was a favorite in the Derby and Preakness, but lost. To complete the story of fillies in the Preakness Stakes, well, there have been 50 of them altogether. The most recent in 1939 was Chientia from the King Ranch, and she finished last in a small field of six. Other filly winners were way back in 1903, Flo Carline, in 1906, Whimsical, and in 1915, the same year that Regret won the Kentucky Derby, by the way, Rhine Maiden won the Preakness, and then, of course, Nellie Morse in 1924, and none since then. Okay, let's continue our Preakness story of 1980 now, again with Howard.
Thank you again, Jim. Six horses in the Preakness that were not in the Derby. Quickly, let's run them down. Codex, Colonel Moran, Night Landing, Samoyed, Bing, the Maiden, and Lucky Pluck. But it's the top two horses whose chances are highly regarded, Codex and Colonel Moran. They've got past victories as evidence of their worth. Let's take a closer look at them. Codex is a big, strapping, handsome animal, owned by Tartan Stables and trained by Wayne Lucas. He was lightly regarded in the beginning. He's come on ever so strongly. He'll be ridden by that man on Hell Cordero Jr., an extraordinary athlete, one of the very best in the business. He has never ridden Codex before. Codex served notice March 30th past in the Santa Anita Derby. You see him on the outside, forging to the lead right there. This is a horse with staying power, geared for distance. He faced a big challenge in the Santa Anita. That's Rumbo with Lafitte Pincai up, making the challenge. But Codex had enough to hold on for the victory. And to prove the victory was no fluke, that was April 13th past the Hollywood Derby. Again, the circle. Now watch Codex moving up, passing horses, one of which was Jacqueline Kluckman, the gray horse. And Codex will be facing him again in the Preakness. There is Codex on the outside coming into the stretch, gaining strength and momentum. Remember, the horse geared for distance. Again, the challenge on the far outside by Rumbo, the horse that seems always not to have quite enough. In this case, Codex won more easily than at Santa Anita. And that's Colonel Moran, the speed horse owned by Townsend Martin, one of the owners of the New York Jets. This is the horse that will provide the early speed, and he'll be ridden by another very great jockey, Jorge Velasquez, a man who can come down the stretch whipping and driving a horse as well as any other jockey. Note the circle, the weather stakes. May 10th passed, and look at Colonel Moran. Here the speed held up all the way. It was a superb performance at the Withers Mile distance. But remember, Colonel Moran has never gone the Preakness distance of a mile and 3/16. Still, one had to be impressed with the nature of this victory. Just a tremendous effort. The winning time, a very impressive 1:34.2. So the look at Codex and Colonel Moran. But we mentioned earlier a late developing problem with Jacqueline Klugman. With me, of course, one of the co-owners of the horse, the famed actor, Oscar Madison, as disheveled in person as he is on the screen.
Now you're doing a monologue. Come on, let's get together with it.
All right, knock it off. This is one of the great veteran Aryans in all of thoroughbred racing for years, Dr. Alex Harthill. What happened to Jacqueline Klugman? How did you treat her or treat him last night?
Howard, after his blowout yesterday morning, he apparently had stepped on a hard object on the racetrack and was a little off in his right hind leg. And it was rather obvious it was in his foot. There was pulsation and great tenderness. And we called the blacksmith, Jackie Green, who had shot him, and removed the shoe and pared away the bruised spot on the inside of his right hind sole. We tubbed him in Epsom salts and hot water most of the afternoon, and he showed a dramatic response. We left the shoes off overnight, and Jackie applied some felt pads to both hind shoes, which were tacked on this morning, and he hasn't showed any semblance of soreness since, and hopefully he's going to be all right.
Dramatic recovery.
I would hope so. I hope he...
Fit for the race.
I hope so.
All right. Well, we hope
lucky
so, too.
Because we had a great man doing it. I can't tell you. We were lucky. A coincidence, because he was coming down to check the horse, and a half hour after it happened, he was there. I can't tell you how much I love him. Yes, sir. What is it, sir?
You had a great night's sleep, didn't you?
Oh, sure. Like this, I slept. I couldn't even get drunk. I tried to get drunk. I couldn't. Just something to knock me out. But I feel good now.
Thank you. Good luck to you.
Thank
I know what you've been through.
I know you have.
You're a
Thank
great
you for
man.
Everything.
Go back to the Pacific Welcome. Highway where you live and remember these past 2 weeks because it's the biggest of your life.
You know that.
Goodbye. All right, we'll be back. Preakness winner, Eddie Arcaro. Master, your view of the race.
I'll tell you one thing, Howard. This, of all the Preaknesses I've ever seen, this may be one of the most interesting that I'll ever see. There are four horses in this race. I'm calling the filly a horse, and I shouldn't be doing that, of course, but she runs like a horse and is the favorite here today, and one of the, I think, mostly by the people that are here wanting to see her win. She looks great, but if I was Vasquez, I can just read his mind, Howard. He's got a lot to worry about. He's got a horse called Colonel Moran, who, if he gets on the lead, could win this race by stealing it. And this is the kind of a racetrack where you can steal a race. The Preakness is noted for being a speed racetrack, and this could be the one. Now, talking to Cadero, who rides Codex, told me that Codex, if he needed to, had enough speed to force Colonel Moran, which makes it very interesting for Jacqueline Klugman, who could come on and beat the bunch of them. So that's how it stacks up. It is just one of the greatest and most interesting Preaknesses that we may any of us here see.
You mentioned Codex. Two problems may militate against him. The long trip from L.A. to New York and then Banning down to Baltimore, and he hasn't raced for 34 days.
But the trainer comes here with such a great reputation. The man has been a quarter horse trainer out in the West, and he's been given a bunch of thoroughbreds to train for the last few years and has had nothing but success. I've got to trust the man.
And you trust Dr. Harthill that Klugman is fit?
Well, Harthill happens to be one of my dearest friends, and that would be prejudice saying that he is the best.
Well, then we come down to your selection in this race.
Codex. Howard, I really like Codex. I think that when he fires, you're going to see something explode that you haven't seen all year.
Right on the line, the old master, Eddie Arcaro, over to Jim McKay.
All right, Howard, thank you very much. And now the horses for the great race itself are coming out. There is the favorite at the moment, Genuine Risk. the filly who won the Derby. One of the fascinating sports stories of the year already. In the year that the American hockey team did the impossible dream, she came on and fulfilled another impossible dream to win the Kentucky Derby. But no filly has ever won both the Derby and the Preakness, and she'll try to achieve that this afternoon. Genuine Risk, of course, will be ridden by Jacinto Vasquez, trained by Leroy Jolly, owned by the Firestones. The trainer was talked to by Howard earlier.
Leroy, tell us, if you will, how the filly came out of the Derby and how she's acted since then.
Everything has gone well for her. Everything went perfect before the Derby, and everything has gone very well here. She came out of the Derby in really good shape. She has traveled back to New York and then here to Maryland, and she's eating well. She seems to be happy and alert, and as long as those factors are in her favor, I think that she has a good chance.
In your view, Leroy, will the Preakness be a more difficult race to win than the Derby was?
I think it's going to be a much tougher race, Howard. The Derby, I think, you know, came up with a very soft pace that she was able to maintain her position very easily all the way. And you're not going to see that this time. You're going to see some horses that leave there running hard, and it's going to be a really rugged, tough race.
How will the race be won?
Well, I think that this is going to be a competitive race on the front end. Colonel Moran is obviously the speed of the race. Codex is a horse who's been racing in California, and if you look at his form, he always maintains his position the first part of it. And in California, that means that you're traveling pretty fast. The races in California have speed all the way. So I think that he and Colonel Moran are probably going to have somewhat of a go at each other the first three quarters of a mile. And I think my best hope is that if they'll soften each other up and I can lay in behind them, she might be able to pick them up from the eighth pole to the wire.
There is jockey Jacinto Vasquez. You'll notice that he's wearing a bandage on his left hand. 2 days out of the Kentucky Derby, he was thrown from a horse while racing in New York. At first, they feared that it was broken. He says it's okay, it's not going to bother him. But that yet another detail in the fascinating story of Genuine Risk and this year, it's Preakness. Let's take a look now at the odds as they stand right now. This young Matthew Firestone on the right who picked out this filly. Knight Landing at 50-1, as you see. But Codex at 5-2 and Colonel Rand at 5-2. That's 2.5-1. Genuine Risk still the favorite at 9-5. Jacqueline Klugman at 4-1. And then you see the others. It's all live from Pimlico, and the race will be soon.
Pimlico Race Course. You know, one hates to see one of America's great sports events clouded by unsavory stories. Yet notice must be taken of the flood of stories this week passed in newspapers all over the country about how a jockey in a Brooklyn courtroom accused a whole list of jockeys of actions in which he said they conspired to fix races. Three of those jockeys are involved in this race today, three of the very greatest in these United States. Journalistically, we had to take notice of those stories and query the jockeys themselves. And now you'll see my talks with Angel Cordero, Jorge Velazquez, and Jacinto Vasquez. Angel, the newspaper stories included this week accusations in a courtroom against a number of jockeys, one of which was you, to the effect that you've conspired to fix races. Any truth to that accusation?
That's very untrue, Howard. I never in my life did anything to prejudice my career, and I never will. I love what I'm doing, and this is the way I'm going to remain all my life.
You're human. The stories have to get a man's spirit down. Will it affect your riding today aboard Codex?
Not at all. I'm very concentrated in this race. My heart is clean and my conscience is clean. I never did anything wrong to anybody. And all my worries is trying to win the Preakness and make a good name for my family.
Jorge, what is your reaction to these ugly stories that you conspired to fix races?
Howard, I'll tell you the truth. I don't even dignify the whole story. So it's not even worth it to talk about it.
Will the stories affect your thinking, put additional pressure on your riding today?
No, I don't think so. It's the moment I get on the horse, I forget about everything. So I don't think anything is going to bother me when I'm on the horse.
Are you bitter about these stories?
I have to be, of course. But what can I do? It's not much I can say, really.
Haseno, I want your reaction to the ugly stories that you have conspired to fix races.
Well, I have a clean conscience. I've never been involved in anything about fixing races. My business is ride horses and win races. Ride horses to win.
One further question, Jacinto. Your recent fall in New York, the hurt hand, is it all better?
It's much better. My hand was just only that my thumb was a spring, and I recovered awful fast. That was almost 2 weeks, and my hand is perfect right now.
Eddie, Thoroughbred Racing has been your life, your view of this whole story.
Howard, they're innocent until proven guilty with me. I can't say any more.
Again, right on the line, because that's the underlying theme of American criminal jurisprudence. We hope you'll all remember that. Now back to Jim McKay.
All right, Howard, let's have a look now at Codex. This is the horse that showed so little until the middle of February this year that his trainer, Wayne Lucas, didn't even nominate him for the Kentucky Derby. After nominations closed, he won the Santa Anita Derby and the Hollywood Derby. Many think he's the best three-year-old in the country. Howard talked to trainer Wayne Lucas a little bit earlier.
Wayne, tell us again, if you will, how and why did this horse fail to be entered in the Derby?
It was merely an oversight at the entry time, Howard. We had a situation where the representative Churchill Downs came by. He had a list of our three-year-olds in the barn. He asked me to check those horses that I would like to have in the Derby, and he'd do the paperwork, and I checked five head of horses and omitted Codex.
Any recriminations against you as a result of that?
No, I worked for some wonderful people in the Bingers and John Nayrud, and they weren't really upset. They understood the situation. We were sorry we missed the Derby, but really, Howard, we had no repercussions whatsoever on it.
Well, it's overcast. It is cool. We are told, however, that the rain, which is expected, will hold off until about 7 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. That's all we need. It looks like we're going to be fine. At the infield crowd and the total crowd of more than 83,000, an all-time Preakness record, looks on. Number one, Night Landing, starting out. The jockeys all up now. We're going to have the 105th running of the Preakness Stakes. And in just a minute here, we'll have the playing of Maryland, My Maryland, which of course means at the Preakness what my old Kentucky home means at the Kentucky Derby. Maryland, My Maryland, of course, comes from an old German song called Tannenbaum, O Tannenbaum, which means Christmas tree. Well, it's going to be a Merry Christmas in the month of May for some happy and lucky owner very shortly here. The owner of the Colt, or the Filly, or the Gelding, there is one Gelding here, who wins the 105th running of the Preakness Stakes. Here in Maryland, you see the grandstand and the clubhouse area there. It really taxes and overtaxes the facility of this old racetrack here, Pimlico, which most of the time is kind of quiet and nice and a cozy place to go to the races. Not today. There is Colonel Moran down from New York. But a great Maryland story here. His trainer, Tommy Kelly, was born and raised in Baltimore. Actually used to come over the fence here and rip the pants one day doing so to see the races. And now comes back at age 60 to try to win the Preakness with this horse. Colonel Moran, owned by Townsend B. Martin and ridden today by Jorge Velasquez. One after another, they take to the race course. As we wait for the playing of Maryland, My Maryland, which we would expect right now, actually. I see for Alf Elsmo, the man who coordinates such things and who organizes the infield festivities here. He's on the radio talking to somebody, apparently waiting for a cue. But that should have been the cue, I would believe, when the horses went on the track. Well, that may not be the last surprise that we get here today. Okay, now the PA announcer is making the official announcement. Calling the horses, actually, still not the playing of Maryland, My Maryland. Number eight there is Lucky Pluck. Again, on the inside, we'll have Night Landing, one of the outsiders. On the outside, Lucky Pluck and other outsiders. And actually, three of the favorites, Codex, Colonel Moran, and Genuine Risk, will be side by side, 3, 4, and 5. Howard, why don't we have a look at the post parade now? Maryland, My Maryland, or no?
We'll do exactly that, James. Right there, number one. Numbers correspond to post positions. Night Landing, Bill Passmore up, James Murphy, the trainer. Night Landing, the odds speak for themselves. And number two, Samoyed. The horse will be ridden by Arnold Ilescu. And, of course, the horse won a couple of recent overnight races here. And the horse is a long shot trained by Judy Zark, whom you met in depth earlier. Horse number three, Codex, Angel Cordero Jr., the redoubtable one up. The horse geared for distance, but the horse with the speed to challenge Colonel Moran early if Cordero desires. Wayne Lucas, the trainer. Number four, Colonel Moran. Jorge Velasquez up. Colonel Moran, owned by Tony Martin, one of the owners of the Jets, who praised that his horse can run like Olympic sprinter Lamb Jones, the Jets' number one draft choice. Now, Marilyn, my Marilyn in the background, but we will not disrespectfully continue with the post parade. The winning filly in the Derby, Genuine Risk, Jacinto Vasquez up. There are the odds. The great Leroy Jolly, the trainer, Mrs. Firestone, the owner. And then the maiden, Bing, Danny Wright up. Bing, which has never won a race. And then the horse with the late developing problem that we all hope has had a dramatic recovery, as Dr. Hart Hill said. Jacqueline Klugman, great. Daryl McHarg, fine rider, up. Jack Klugman and John Dominguez, the co-owners. And then, the final horse in the field, number eight, Lucky Pluck, with Bobby Ussery Jr. up. There's a name. His dad won the 1960 Preakness aboard Ballyhay and was a Derby winner, too. So there they are, the eight horses in the field for the 105th running of the Preakness Stakes, and we'll be back in a moment.
The track is Colonel Moran, named after a character in Sherlock Holmes, whom the great detective once called the second most dangerous man in London, second only, of course, to the infamous Professor Moriarty. Well, he's going to be a danger here today, too. Won the Withers in New York a week ago today. However, he's never gone further than a mile and an eighth. He's a speed horse, should be busting right out of there when the race begins. Again, Howard talked to his trainer, Tommy Kelly.
I wonder, Tommy, if you'd assess for us the improvement in the Colonel from the Wood to the Withers.
Howard, again, as you know, our problem with racehorses is to keep them physically fit and healthy. And in the Gotham, the Colonel acquired a quarter crack. And 2 days after that, we put this patch on the foot to hold the quarter crack together. This is a complete, it's like a plexiglass cast that holds the foot together. The longer that's on, the stronger the foot gets. Now, we only had about 8 or 9 days from the time it was applied after the Gotham to the Wood, and that worried me because the foot wasn't too strong at that time. He had another 2 weeks into the Withers, which to me gives me a little bit of an edge by nature growing the foot out and him having a little more time with the cast on, with the patch on his foot. So I believe that made the difference in his performance from the Wood to the Withers. Also, I believe the track was a little faster the day that the Withers was run. The day the Wood was run, all the races were slow, and the wind was blowing hard up the stretch, which had to be a factor in it. But between the two, basically the time with the patch on his foot, I believe that made the difference.
Post time in 2 minutes.
All right, let's have one final look now at the odds board. Here's how they stand at this moment as the horses near the starting gate. Knight Landing, 50-1. Samoyed, 19-1. Codex and Colonel Moran still holding fast at 5-2. Genuine Risk, the favorite, still at 2-1, a narrow favorite. Bing, the maiden unwinner of any race, 50-1. Jacqueline Klugman at 4-1 now, getting closer to the other leaders. And Lucky Pluck at 70-1 is the outsider in the field. And so the scene is pretty much set. Let's return for a final word now to Howard and Eddie.
Thank you again, Jim. Eddie, is there any final point you want to emphasize as the horses get ready to go into the starting gate?
Just one thing, Howard. Talking to Angel Cordero coming out, brought him out here today to the racetrack, told me, he says, Eddie, I am not going to let Colonel Moran steal this race. Codex has enough speed, if I want to go and get him and carry him. And I'm not going to let him run any half mile in 48 in 3 or 4/5 seconds.
Now, on Codex, you mentioned how highly the trainer Wayne Lucas is regarded. How highly? And who told you all of this?
Well, Wayne Lucas was a quarter horse trainer out in California, Howard. There was 18 $100,000 races in the last 3 years run in California. Wayne Lucas has won every one of them. That makes him some kind of a horseman with me.
He has to be doing something right. Again, we're looking at Codex on Hel Cordero Jr. Up. The horse that seems geared for distance quite convincingly off the Santa Anita and Hollywood Derby wins, and the horse that also is geared for speed if the jockey should so decide. Night Landing, the number one horse going in. There goes the number two horse, Samayed. And Codex will be going in next, and the others will follow suit. The four horse, of course, is Colonel Moran. There is Codex. Colonel Moran waiting his turn. Townsend Martin's horse, the horse with the great early speed off a brilliant performance in the Withers Stakes. Right now, up to Dave Johnson, who will call the race.
Just two horses left to move into line. Jacqueline Pluckman and Lucky Pluck on the outside. Crowd of 50 to make that 83,000. Getting ready to cheer their favorite home. The winner's share, $180,600. The total purse, $250,600. They're all in line. The flag's up, and we're ready for the start of the Preakness Stakes. And they're off. And Colonel Moran and Codex. Now Codex quickly to the lead. Colonel Moran second. Far outside, there goes Lucky Pluck. And on the inside, Night Landing. They're passing the stands for the first time. And on the rail, Night Landing has that lead by a length and a half. Colonel Moran out in the middle of the track is second. Codex races third. Then Lucky Pluck back to fourth. Jacqueline Pluckman on the outside is fifth. Genuine Risk, the filly, sixth on the inside. After that, it's Samoyed. And the trailer is Bing as they round the clubhouse turn. And Night Landing surprisingly has that lead with Colonel Moran, the speed horse, second by two. Then Codex racing third. On the outside, Lucky Pluck is fourth by a head. Genuine Risk is fifth on the rail. Middle of the racetrack, Samoyed. Then Jacqueline Pluckman and far back, Bing. They continue down the backstretch, and on the inside, Night Landing has the lead a half. Colonel Moran on the outside, and Codex races third. Genuine Risk is fourth. On to the half-mile call. Now they're getting tightly bunched on the front end. Night Landing on the rail. Colonel Moran between horses and Codex charges up on the outside. Three of them battling for the lead. And now Codex on the outside gets the lead. Night Landing hangs tough in there second with Colonel Moran alongside third. Genuine Risk is racing fourth out in the middle of the track. She's three wide and going up. As they move to the top of the stretch, Codex has the lead. But here comes Genuine Risk flying on the outside. And there's a quarter of a mile to go. And it looks like a two-horse race from here. Codex racing far away from the rail has the lead. Three parts of the length. Genuine Risk on the outside. Second, Colonel Moran is third. And Jacqueline Pluckman. And down the stretch they come. And Codex with Anil Cordero Jr. has the lead by two and a half. Genuine Risk can't catch him. It's Codex. On by the Tyson Fire. Trained by Geely Lucas. Anil Cordero aboard. Codex wins the Preakness Stakes. The filly, Genuine Risk, second. After that, it was Colonel Moran. Followed by Jacqueline Pluckman. Then Bing. Then Samoyed. Then Night Landing. And Lucky Pluck was third. Unofficial time of the race, 1 minute 54 and 1/5 second. A tremendous performance. Only a fifth of a second off the track record set back in 1971 by Pennonero II. Codex had it. He was third down the backstretch, carrying 126 pounds, and a beautiful ride by Cordero. He took the lead, then Genuine Risk could not catch him. Jacqueline Pluckman did not have it in the stretch. Colonel Moran was third. A tremendous Preakness Stakes, and it goes to Codex. Jim McKay.
All right, Dave. Thank you very much, Dave Johnson. Again, that time, 1:54 and a fifth, only a fifth off the race record by Pennonero II. It's the same time turned in by Spectacular Bid last year, and it is faster than the time credited to Secretariat, Seattle Slough, and Affirmed in this same race. Now, here they are again, coming to the top of the stretch. Could be a foul claim. Let's stand by and hold everything, because was that a foul? Did Codex bear out into the filly, into Genuine Risk? Well, certainly there's some action between the two horses. There has been no objection made as yet or inquiry indicated on the odds board, but it sure looks like we could have a foul claim in the Preakness. The filly was making her move around the outside very much as she had done in the Kentucky Derby, remember, when she was four wide. when that, it appeared to be contact by the slow motion, took place. Now she's drawn clear, but she certainly appeared by the television picture to have lost ground in that action between the two horses. Getty Arcaro is standing next to me. What did you think?
Well, she was certainly bumped, Jim. There's no doubt about that. Now, it's a question of how much. But that's a matter of opinion.
In other words, she a certain amount of racing action that would be allowed, you think, but was it more than that?
According to the stewards, Jim, some stewards will say, well, she was putting in her full run when she was bumped, and he stopped her.
If you were Vasquez, would you put in an objection?
Jim, you could bet more on that than eating tonight.
Okay, well, here's the way the finish came, however, although it's still very unofficial because of what you've just seen. Codex, a horse from the West Coast who wasn't entered for the Derby. Here is Jacinto Vasquez, the jockey of the filly, Genuine Risk, coming to be weighed in, and that's when the objection would be made. All the jockeys, of course, must weigh in after the race. The unofficial results again, Codex from California, Genuine Risk the filly, and Colonel Moran, the speed horse from New York. That's the way they finish. Jacqueline Klugman was not a factor. 154 to fifth, again, is extremely fast time, only a fifth off the record. We'll be back. An objection has been lodged by Jacinto Vasquez, the jockey of the filly, Genuine Risk, against Codex, ridden by Angel Cordero, two of the best-known and most successful jockeys in the game. There is the apparent winner of the race with Cordero aboard. Codex, winner again of the Santa Anita Derby and the Hollywood Derby. No horse has ever been disqualified in the Preakness, and Howard, it's the same thing in the Derby. It would really be a major event in the annals of horse racing if it would happen.
That's exactly true, Jim. Let's take another look at it from a different angle, and Eddie, let's again have your analysis.
Well, there's no doubt that Codex came out and ran into this filly when she was putting in her best punch. She was in high gear when she got hit right here. There's no doubt about it. But it's definitely a Stewart's decision. How serious do they think it was?
Well, obviously, they'd have to think it were very serious because for 104 years, no winner has been taken down. But they haven't been taking movies for 104 years, Eddie.
Oh, no, and I think racing has gotten stricter. There's no doubt about that.
There's Angel Cordero on the phone. We have asked our race caller, Dave Johnson, to go to talk with the stewards, and of course, moment to moment, we'll keep you abreast. Now let's take an isolated look, Jim, at Genuine Risk.
Okay, we're going to go back again as Angel Cordero continues his telephone conversation there in the green and white in the middle of your picture right now. That'll be Genuine Risk, number five, and Edward, we're going to watch her all the way around now.
She just put in a big punch up there when she got hit. Now, how bad the punch was, that I think it detained her. That's my own opinion.
We see Colonel Moran next to her, number four there, moving out for the lead in the early going.
In the meantime, it was another brilliant ride by Vasquez. He brought Genuine Risk around in much the manner he did in the Derby.
He just had her perfectly placed all the way, and as we got around to the half-mile pole, he just had her placed beautifully and just in the right spot to make the run that he always makes with this filly.
Just outside of there, Jacqueline Klugman, number seven, getting squeezed a little bit, it looks
yes,
like.
Yes, he did. He got pinched back. But you can see Vasquez moving up out of trouble on the inside of, or on the outside, rather, of Codex.
And there's the gelding on the outside. Lucky Pluck, the outsider, making a move.
Right. But here you'll see Vasquez make a real run at Codex, and this is when she gets the block or the bump or whatever you want to call it. But she definitely got hit.
Of course, as the racing public knows, Cordero is frequently a figure of controversy in a riding sense. Flamboyant, a great athlete, gives no quarter, and simply hates to lose. A big race like this is in his blood. And so he clearly, as we have noted, moved into the filly.
Going to happen very soon.
Here comes the filly. Here's the run. Look at the run that this filly puts in. She is really flying and running to Codex about as good as she did in the Kentucky Derby, in fact.
Looked like Cordero sneaked a look at her, too.
But Cordero is whipping Codex. He's not drawing away from her until he hits her. He runs right out into this filly.
And wow. There it was.
About as plain as you can see.
All right. In the meantime, we know that Codex is a horse that gives no quarter. Held on grimly against Rumbo in the Santa Anita and did it again, only more convincingly, in the Hollywood.
It's just a question of the decision. One man's opinion against another.
Well, no matter which way it goes, there's going to be a lot of conversation and a lot written about what happened on the turn heading for home here, because it couldn't have been much more flagrant, really, could it, Eddie?
No, not much more, unless you knocked her completely.
That's right. Yeah.
So
and
we
it's not
still
a question,
wait.
Yeah, Howard, I was just, it's not really a question of whether it was intentional or not, right, but just whether it really knocked the horse out of the race.
Whether it happened, and it did happen.
Yeah, yeah. Begun to sprinkle rain here now, by the way. It always happens to us. We get wet after the race is over.
Eddie, what's your guess? If you had to make a guess, you're not being held to anything here. Would you think they'll take...
Howard, if I was a steward, which I am not and never been, I would have to take the number down.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Okay.
On the line.
And it's never happened in the 105 runnings of the Preakness Stakes.
I don't think that should make any difference.
Of course not. No.
We did have an incident here once when the horse, the thoroughbred, might have been taken down.
Yes.
But wasn't because it didn't win the race. The objection, not invalid.
Excuse me, Howard, there's Cordero awaiting the decision.
Wasn't that Manny Arcaza at the time?
You're right. It was Manny Arcaza against Watts.
Wait a minute. The result is official. The objection has not been allowed. Codex is the winner of the 105th running of the Preakness Stakes, a Happy Angel Cordero, with trainer Wayne Lucas, a real gentleman who came in from California. But boy, are they going to be talking and writing about what you saw several times on the screen there.
For a long time, Jimmy. I think maybe they were more concerned with keeping the record intact of never taking a winner down. And there are the mutuals, 740, 360, 380, 360 and 280 on the place and 340 on the show.
Of course, exacta is another form of betting there that paid 1960. However, the result is official, and as the important news, Codex, a Florida-bred horse who has done his racing in California as a two-year-old and a three-year-old, has come east to an unfamiliar racing surface, has given away 3 hours in time zone difference, and has won the race. Now, Dave Johnson is up above with the stewards right now. Can we go to Dave now?
We're on the roof here with state steward J. Fred Cowell, and judge, what actually happened here?
Well, as they approach when they're leaving the 3-8 pole, Cordero is out fairly well off the rail, and Vasquez approaches him on his filly, and he naturally starts to come around the outside of him, and the horse did go slightly wide, but I really don't feel that. I think Cordero was out enough to begin with, and Vasquez followed him out.
Did you talk to the two jockeys after the race?
I didn't. One of the other stewards did.
And what did they say about the incident?
Well, Vasquez said that he hit his horse, which we could not see that at all.
Now, how many people adjudicated this claim?
And three people.
There were three stewards.
That's right.
And what did you use to make your decision? Do you have videotapes?
We have two shots, the public pan and the steward's pan, that we'll show the public. And that's the best shot of the whole incident.
Mm-hmm. Did you think that Genuine Risk could have gone to the inside? Was that part of your decision?
Well, no. She started outside, up on the outside before approaching the head of the lane. So if she'd have eased back, and then maybe she could. But that's a pretty vital point in the race to ease back when everybody's making a charge.
Right. J. Fred Cowell, who is the state steward, and back to Jim McKay.
Okay, as Angel Cordero scatters black-eyed Susans, actually Daisy's painted black in the middle because the black-eyed Susans don't come out until June in Maryland. As he does that, we're going to take one more look at the replay as they come around that turn. You heard the steward say that they did not see Codex knock the filly out. Well, look right here. There's Codex, number three on the inside, the filly on the outside, making her move. And you can judge for yourself. Eddie Arcaro, of course, who won this race six times, said that were he a steward here today and saw this, he would take the number down, would disqualify a winner for the first time in the history of the Preakness. It has not been done. Again, we would say it has not been done. The result of the race is official. Codex is the winner. And that's number three out in front there. Genuine Risk second, Colonel Moran third. Yes, Howard.
A new question will undoubtedly arise, Jim. Will the filly go now in the Belmont Stakes after this mishap? Quickly,
okay.
They're painting the colors on the weather vane.
That's right, the old tradition here at Pimlico, painting them in the colors of the tartan stable. That'll be kind of tough because they have the Stuart tartan as a sash on those colors. That'll take a little time. Here's the way they finish. Codex, Genuine Risk, Colonel Moran, Jacqueline Klugman, Bing, Samoyed, Night Landing, and Lucky Pluck. We'll be right back live. Again, here are the official results and the prices. Codex, the winner of the Preakness, 740, 360, and 380. Genuine Risk, the filly, 360 and 280. Colonel Moran, $3.40. The winning time, 154 and a fifth, only a fifth off the Preakness record set by Canyonero II. I'm standing here right now with Governor Harry Hughes of the state of Maryland. Governor, you're going to make the presentation now to Mr. and Mrs. Binger, Tartan Stable, the owners of the winner.
That's right. I'll be very delighted to do that. Mr. and Mrs. Binger, on behalf of over 4 million citizens of Maryland, I'm very delighted to congratulate you on this great victory, and you too, Mr. Lucas, and your wonderful horse. You've come a long way, and this is our greatest Preakness today, the record crowd, and our biggest sporting event in Maryland. And the people of Maryland have honored me by permitting me to be here, congratulate you, and present you with this marvelous trophy, the Woodlawn Vase. Thank you so much.
Well, most valuable trophy in American sport. Appraised at $750,000, most recently, but more important, the winning of the race, I should think, Mrs. Binger.
I don't know which. Would you like to say something?
Sure, please.
I want to thank the trainer, the jockey, the horse, and everybody, for Jim and myself.
That's
very exciting day.
Cover everything. Mr. Binger, you have something to add to that?
No, thank you. I enjoyed the race a great deal. Anytime that horse comes in front.
I should think so. Where's Wayne? Here is trainer Wayne Lucas over. Wayne, could you turn towards the camera over here? Give us your comment on the race. And what about the incident at the head of the stretch?
Well, in the excitement of watching it, I want to see it again on the replay. But I felt that our horse was full of run, and he's done that in all his races. When he gets ready to move, he pulls him out of the saddle and comes home. And the foul thing scared us, certainly. But the end result is good, and we couldn't be happier.
You want to take a look at it right now?
Yes, I'd love
to. Okay, let's see if we can rack that up for trainer Wayne Lucas. And Angel Cordero is here. You might take a look at this.
Yes, sir.
All right, here it is.
Okay. Usually Codex is on the outside, but Angel's going wide, and of course the filly's going to come outside of him yet.
Well, look now. What happens here?
Just the angle of the camera.
The angle of the camera?
Yeah. He was just too close to me.
I think he's the official winner, and we're going to accept that. There's three very qualified men in the tower studying these films, and I think that they feel that he's the official winner, and it's on the board, and I'm just thrilled to death. I'm not going to second-guess myself now, not after what we just got done.
I should suspect not.
No, I'm looking at it on a sweep camera on the end, and the three officials in the tower, who I'm sure are very qualified, are looking at it from many angles, and I think that... Again, I feel that they're justified in what they did, and I hope that all America feels that he was the best horse today.
All right, Wayne, it's been great having you here in the East. Angel, congratulations. Now, we're going to be coming back here. We've run over into Wide World of Sports, I believe, at this point. We will be continuing with ABC's Wide World of Sports, but during that, we will come back for yet another look at this, Howard, and I think, of course, the winner is this jockey, this trainer, and the horse known as Codex. That's the story for Pimlico. From right now.
Well, there you go. The ABC telecast, which just featured so many greats between Jim McKay and Howard Cosell and Eddie Arcaro, Dave Johnson doing double duty, Dr. Harthill and Jack Klugman and Leroy and TJ Kelly, and of course also Georgie Velasquez, Angel Cordero. And our guest, Jacinto Vasquez, joins us. And Jacinto, good morning. I appreciate you visiting.
Good morning. How are you? Nice to
have you. All good. All good. You're busy down in Ocala, huh? Still breaking horses, getting babies?
Yes, I got some babies, some fixing horses, and right now I can get on some horses for a friend of mine because all my horses I got rid of them. So,
okay.
I just get on 3-4 horses of this gentleman over here, and that's all I do in the afternoon. I'll go play golf.
Not a bad life. Not a bad, second career. Are we going to see you? Are we going to see you up? A lot of the guys come up Belmont Week, and we'll see Saratoga also Hall of Fame Week. You coming up at all?
I don't know. I don't think so. I'm going to go Friday. I'm leaving from here. I'm going to fly to New York to a first communion for one of my grandkids. And then I have another grandkid who's going to graduate at the high school. And I'm going to stay there to the 30 this month. Then I come back to college.
Well,
I've got a couple of horses over here to pick up and start training. And that's all I'm going to do.
Well, it's always great to see you, and we look forward to it. And, of course, the last time we spoke, sadly, after the passing of Leroy Jolly. And here we are talking a little bit about Leroy again. And in the wake of everything that went on in the Derby, Jacinto, everybody talking about Codex and Genuine Risk. And we just listened to the broadcast, as I mentioned, and the objection that you filed, there was no inquiry, much like we saw at Kentucky. Give everybody your thoughts then and years later.
Well, the opinion was obvious what the Cordero did to me. You know, he carried me out and hit my horse in the face a couple of times, and then after that my horse was intimidated to go by it. And he barbecued me, you know, he mugged me. So he got away with it. So, and the Derby was a different, only reaction for a couple of stripes, and that's all. That was the difference between the putting in the Derby.
And I want your opinion on the Derby too. But when you came rallying on the backstretch and into the turn, and obviously you've got your eye, and Angel knows you're coming. I haven't seen a head on. We only see the pan. How far into the turn? How wide was Codex and Angel?
Well, we went about 2-3 horse wide, and we went up 7 wide, 6 wide.
Yeah.
You know, he had a lot of horse because, you know, no rider can carry a horse out if he don't have no horse. It's like trying to go around 2 horses or 3 horses. And if you got enough horse, you're going to go by. If you don't have enough horse, you're never going to go by. So, and sometimes the people say, oh, he got carry out. He got carry out because he don't have enough horse to go by. And but when Cordero saw me coming, he intimidated me right away and started going, taking me out. And when I got to him, I hit my horses over the, on the side of the head many times. But he did it very clever, you know. He did it on the way up, not on the way down. He stood on the way up. A lot of people don't see that.
Explain that when you say the way up.
Well, he just put the whip in down and then extend the whip out and go up.
Okay.
It's like, you ride a horse right head and head with another horse, and you can poke a horse eye in the eye with a whip. And if the horse is alongside of you, you can do that too. Without even making any effort to do it. You just have to put the whip down toward the horse's head and do it. Just to intimidate the horse.
And you said just now as well that also will intimidate a horse enough that they're not that interested in going by it again and trying.
You know,
no matter what you try,
you knock a horse a stride. Some horses you knock them out of stride, they never go by a horse. You know, that's what they are. Some horses fight, but some don't. The majority don't fight after they made a run. I made a run from the 3.5-4. Paul, you know, I was asking my horse to run. So when I got to Codex, he was waiting for me. He was in front of me. He was laying, I think, a third or fourth in the box and behind the horses. And I was way back. So,
a couple of things. If you know, knowing the way it turned out, did you ever think, second guess yourself a little about, you know, the way it
No, I don't
you...
second guess myself. The only thing that he should have been disqualified. He should have been disqualified. According to the racing rules, he should have been disqualified. You know, the two blind mice that was around in Maryland, they had a reputation. They don't see most of this problem. And but he got away with it, that's all.
Because I know that
everybody know that race, they know the horse should have been disqualified.
Yeah.
The announcer, the TV announcer, and everything. Before I even claimed foul, they were saying, "Well, they're going to be a foul because Cordero fouled the filly." That's everybody saw, it, especially people, the broadcasters and the TV analysis, they all know.
Yeah. Arcaro. Arcaro. We heard Arcaro very specifically. Arcaro says that horse should come down. He said no question in his mind.
Yeah.
I also, I get a kick too out of, you've been asked a million times, oh, did it affect your relationship with Angel? And and you've got a stoic response.
Listen, I congratulate you. I said, "Why with it? What am I gonna fight it for?" I can't change the object of the race. I can't change it. So, what am I gonna do? Fight for nothing? I'll probably be fined another $500 or $1,000 for what? So, I did some things to him before that. He had a grudge against me, but that's part of the business. When you can screw somebody in a race, you do it. We used to do it with each other.
Yep.
The only thing we had a rule years back, if you screw somebody in the race, you better win. Because if you see somebody else win, we have a fight. We used to fight.
And Angel, you guys all, you and Georgie and Angel in particular, you had a reputation, the swashbuckling.
We had a reputation, but the thing was a different, when the bell rang was a different story, and the race, it was a different story. To each his own. But we used to play softball, go out and things like that, have dinner together, but that, we used to laugh about the things that they, each other, you do this to me, you do that to me, blah, blah, blah. Boy, we just should laugh about him.
I love it. Well, when you went to the hearing, and Alan Foreman is going to join us and talk about the hearing afterward. Did you expect there to be any chance of a change?
No, I don't think so, because they never do that. You're going against the commission is appointed by the state. They don't going to go against the people they appoint for the commission. Never. They're the jury, the judge, and judge and jury, and executor themselves.
Hmm.
So you don't have no chance. Most of those rules in the commission, they are constitution anyhow. They're made by the racing commission, and the state approved those things. The people they appoint for those office, they don't. They're set behind 100% of the people.
I
appealed a lot of days. I was one of the first riders in the United States that appealed against the Stewart. And I appealed in Saratoga one time. I got suspended. I was riding Rocky and Forest Major. And they got to the owners and they told me, say, "Well, if you ride this time under the field, you don't want to ride him back." So what I did, I dropped the appeal. Stay in Foolish Place, stay in Brooklyn. I got in there in Saratoga before the Hopeful and the Philly race. So. But today, they got better cameras and everything. And years
true.
Back, we used
That's
to
true.
Know the spot where they used to switch the cameras and you can barbecue somebody. And
That's great. That's true. There's that blind spot between the pan and the head on.
We used to have a blind spot, don't even go home, and one in a turn. So. You have some question here, somebody you can barbecue in that spot and don't really can't do nothing to you.
Unbelievable. Jacinto, Jacinto Vasquez with us. Jacinto, before we go, what's your view of what would you have done? Would you have taken maximum security down, or did Luis Saez do enough to correct, try to correct the horse?
The horse really overreacted on it, but he don't do nothing really bad. Nobody was in danger, you know. That horse, when the horse is hesitating in front, the horses came back to the horses. After the horses were running in there to him, he came back to the horses. That's what it looked worse. But if the jockey could have just forced him to go forward, maybe nothing could have happened. Because when he started going out, he was clear.
Yeah.
He was clear. So
I see it. I see it pretty much the same.
50-50 chance is too hard to, you know, they took the numbers down. The stewards never put an objection. They should have left it like it is.
That has been a big part of, you know, that's been a big part of the discussion and you know, some of the frustration that has been voiced. Well, at least now there's a controversy, Jacinto, that's every bit as big as Genuine Risk and Codex. There's something that takes the attention off of it a little bit. Too fun. Jacinto, it's always a pleasure, and I appreciate the opportunity to let everybody hear from you, and I can't wait to see you again.
All right, thank you.
Always terrific. Jacinto. The one and only. He's tremendous. See you later. Jacinto Vasquez, everybody. Let's take a break. We're going to come back. Alan Foreman, who was a fresh-faced attorney, a young lawyer, it reminds me a little bit of Quiz Show, right? It's kind of a parallel. It was a big breakthrough for Alan Foreman and really set a certain path for his career. Let's take a break. At the Races, back after this.